want one less decision to make in postpartum, Coterie is like the autopilot button for diapers. They're hypoallergenic, ultra-absorbent, and made without any of the junk. We love Coterie because clean ingredients on your baby's most sensitive parts is super important. Best part? You can text them when you need to size up or delay your next box. Postpartum is wild. Coterie just makes it feel a little lighter. You can use our exclusive code VBAC20, that is VBAC20, at checkout to make postpartum a little easier with an extra 20% off your order. Hello, everybody. This is Megan, and I'm so excited to be diving in to today's episode with our friend Deb. She has a podcast over at Yoga Birth Babies, so if you haven't checked it out yet, definitely do so. We're going to be diving into prenatal yoga. What is prenatal yoga? What are the benefits? When to start? What are the most common pregnancy pains and what to do about it? If you've had back pain, hip pain, all the things, you definitely want to listen to today's episode. And then she even guides us through a 360 breathing technique, which is so incredible. We talk about the pelvic floor and how it can impact us during our birth and how we can get our babies to come down and out vaginally. So you guys, buckle up because it's going to be such a great episode. I feel like we could have talked for hours and hours. But a little bit more about Deb. I love that she says her job is simply to offer women evidence-based information, guidance, and support, empowering them to make decisions which are right for them. It is never appropriate for me as a teacher to put my own birth beliefs on the shoulders of my students. I had my births on my own terms. Now it's their turn to find their path. I seriously love that so much. You guys, she has been doing so many things from yoga from 1997, I think, is when she was introduced, all the way here to now 2025. She's got an education program where she's teaching teachers to go out there and share this amazing knowledge with the world. So without further ado, we're going to get to the intro and then get to Deb. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Okay, so I really cannot wait to talk about this because it's not something that we've really talked about on the podcast before. And it's something that I believe in so much because with my VBAC baby, I just did a lot of different things like yoga and chiropractic care, and I just kind of dialed down into balance and just listening to my body. So I'm really excited. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Oh, I'm really excited to talk to you about this. It's something that I talk to my family. I live, breathe, talk about not just prenatal yoga, but it's like, how can prenatal yoga be a vehicle for supporting birth? So it's something I'm incredibly passionate about.
Yes, I love that you say, like, how can it be a vehicle for supporting birth? Like, it can. It really can. So maybe we just start right there. I mean, I was going to say, like, what are the benefits of prenatal yoga? But let's talk about how it can navigate us.
Absolutely. So one of my favorite things about thinking about yoga is it's not just the shapes that we make. A lot of times we think of yoga, it's just like stretching and moving through the asanas. But when I teach my prenatal yoga teacher training, I tell them from the beginning, the asana is just a tool. And asana is just another word for the yoga postures. Even within that tool, we have different ways we can use that tool. We can use that tool to help be more comfortable during pregnancy, you know, looking at the aches and pains. We start every class with what I call circle time, where the students go around and they say their aches, pains, issues, needs. So that maybe I'm hearing like, oh, upper back or hips. I know, okay, I got to get some poses in that really work on alleviating the discomfort. Usually it's about stretching and strengthening. And then we can look at some of the poses can be a little uncomfortable. And not like I'm gonna hurt you, but if you ever hold, say, like a warrior two for a while, that's like this, it's a lot of work in the body. And it can be uncomfortable, but so can pregnancy and birth. And how can we raise our threshold of tolerance to that discomfort? We can learn coping skills. We can learn how to relax when uncomfortable. We can learn how our breath supports us. We can learn that for me, I'm a big mantra person. When I'm feeling overwhelmed or uncomfortable, I like to go to mantras. We can learn even internal, external focuser. So we can use the safe sensations of the poses to build a toolkit because we don't know what we're going to want during labor. Like, I remember when I was back as a doula, I had one client that's like, I'm going to want touch. I love massage. I love touch. And then during her birth, she's like, don't touch me. She's like,
That is
hands
how the
off.
that is how my very first birth was. She was like, I just want all the touch. I'm such a hands-on person. And then she literally gave us a death stare, like, if anyone touches me, I'm kicking you out. And
Do
we
you
were
know what
like,
we ended up doing
oh.
for this one client? It was really funny, not to go on too much of a tangent. We ended up being in the bathroom of the hospital, and she was straddling the toilet, one of my favorite places for people to labor. I was on one side, her husband was the other. She had a pillow against the wall, and she was just like facing the wall with her pillow. And I felt like we were like these stone lions, like at the front of the Natural History Museum. And we were just there holding the space, barely talking to her, not touching her. And that was absolutely not what she thought. So we need to build that toolkit because we can't rely, even if someone's like, sign me up for that medicated birth, we don't know if that epidural is going to work 100%. We don't know when you're going to get it. So we got to get that toolkit. But then one of my favorite things about the yoga poses is we can look at being in these shapes and think about how can these poses help prepare the body, not just strengthening and stretching, but how can we look at getting the soft tissue more balanced? How can we teach people about the different ways their pelvis opens through the yoga poses? And if we keep coming back to these over and over in class, there's a certain level of comfort and familiarity that may show up in labor. Because we know that when someone's in their birth flow, they're not really thinking like, oh, I should really do a squat or I should really do a side lunge. We're hoping they're not in that, that frontal cortex. But if we keep returning to this over and over in class, it becomes part of their fabric. So the more we can do ahead of time to create body balance, the soft tissues, the psoas, mobile and stable pelvis, the less likely they're going to need intervention. But should they find, okay, baby's coming in a little oddly, the way it's descending in, well, then we also have some understanding of different positions we can shape the body to help make space for baby. So a lot of people think like, oh, prenatal yoga, I'm just gonna stretch. It's so much more. And then we also have really a strong sense of community, because I think this is a time of someone's life that has massive change and can be overwhelming. And coming together with people going through that at the same time, I think is really, really important. So that's how I think prenatal yoga can help prepare us.
I love that so much and truly connect to that. I call it autopilot, but as we're doing these and we're making these our norm and building our toolbox, sometimes I feel like we can apply them in life. Like through my VBAC journey, there were lots of days of tension. Tension-filled days of people saying not nice things or me being, doubted or things like that. And I would go into that space and I would do these things. And so during my birth, when kind of some of those similar things, my body went to this autopilot mode and did these positions and breath. Like that was another thing, like breathing and connecting to the pelvic floor that I feel like yoga helped me so much is just the breath alone is so tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the breath is the foundation for pretty much everything. Like the different, say, like your different coping skills, it really comes down to how the breath is going to support that. And I love that you also said pelvic floor because that is one of my absolute jams. I love talking about the pelvic floor, and the breath also greatly affects the pelvic floor. And I think the more we can understand how the pelvic floor plays a role in birth, we can address that in prenatal yoga too. So I kind of just swung into that because I'm like, oh, yes, let's go into pelvic floor.
Yeah, let's do talk about pelvic floor. And you had talked about a baby coming down in a wonky position, or we've talked about this before on the podcast, and even we talked about it on your podcast, where babies come down in wonky positions, and a lot of the time that brings failure to progress or things like that. And maybe our pelvic floor is too tight to allow baby to come down, and then we're not using our movement, and our pelvic floor is too tight, so then we're restricted. So let's talk about how we can
Oh, yeah, that
connect with
pelvic
that
floor.
pelvic floor.
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is just take away the idea that just because someone's pregnant doesn't mean they should just commit to a strong Kegel practice. There's a time and a place, but it shouldn't just be a blanket prescription. And I feel like care providers are hearing that a little bit more. Now, the thing, man, I am not bashing OBs at all, but I am going to offer that that is not necessarily their lane, the pelvic floor health. I feel like that is something that you're more likely going to get more accurate evidence-based information from a pelvic floor physical therapist as opposed to an OB, because that's not something they've necessarily studied, the pelvic floor health of how to maintain balance of a pelvic floor. I think they have amazing skills. I'm just not 100% sure that is something that many OBs are educated in. And so for years, and I think it's still happening, that someone's pregnant, like, okay, don't forget to do 100 Kegels a day. And what can happen is if you're over engaging the pelvic floor, just think like any muscle. So think about, let's just say your hand, for example. If you're constantly squeezing your hand into a fist, and then you need to open it to say, like, catch a ball, it's going to be really tight and hard to open your hand. Now, if you're always having your hand wide open, when you do need to make a fist, it's going to be hard to do so. So you need to have the full range of motion of your hand for it to be functional and responsive. And that's the same thing for the pelvic floor. If you're always asking those muscles to engage, can it be responsive when it needs to, let's just say, cough or sneeze or laugh so that you don't have incontinence? Or is it going to be able to yield as baby's coming into the pelvis? So with, I find really interesting kind of tying this back to what you're saying, like failure to progress and baby coming down wonky. The pelvic floor starts around zero station. And what's so interesting is that's when we really need, as baby's coming through the pelvis, for the chin to come to its chest, the little part of the baby's head to start to open the cervix even more. We get that flex position. And if pelvic floor is too tight, that might put the head at asynclitic. If the pelvic floor is too relaxed, that may not put the head into that flexion. So we really want that Goldilocks of pelvic floor. And it's not just about squeezing. So one thing we try to do in class is to educate people about what's going on with your pelvic floor individually, instead of just thinking, like we've talked about, not every, and when you were on my podcast, not every birth is this, in fact, no birth is the same. So it's like treating one VBAC as someone down the hall. Not every pelvic floor is the same. So having students try to figure out what's the state of their pelvic floor to then figure out how to balance it. And kind of tying it back to what you said about the breath, when we have our breath really supporting our body, the breath can be a really great way to start to relax the pelvic floor. Wow, that was a long answer. I hope that made sense.
No, this is phenomenal. I mean, I know so many of my clients, and even myself, I've gone through pelvic floor therapy, and I haven't, like, it's an overactive, it's like weird. It's like so overactive that I have a hard time getting connection. Like, does that make
Yeah,
sense?
it can be so engaged. That's actually
It's
so,
so
yeah.
engaged that it's hard to connect.
Yeah, it's like when you try to take a deep breath, it's almost hard to get the breath low because your pelvic floor is so engaged. So actually, let me help your students or your listeners, because we're talking about tight pelvic floor and they may be like, I don't know, do I have a tight pelvic floor? So let me just give them some of the indicators so they can just think about their pelvic floor. So one of them is playing what you said, like it's so overly active, it's hard to relax and it's hard to connect with. Another indicator of a tight pelvic floor could be pain with vaginal penetration. It could be tailbone pain, constipation, it hurts when you poop. Those that are jaw clenchers, there's a neuromuscular connection between your throat, your larynx, and your pelvic floor. So if you're a jaw clencher, chances are your pelvic floor is in a upregulated state. If you're a butt clencher, also can be a tight pelvic floor. If you have what I call the second P, it's like you think you're done and then you're like, oh, nope, still a little bit more. Or it's hard to relax the muscles. to urinate. Also, if it's hard to relax the muscles to have orgasm. So there's a lot of things that can indicate tight pelvic floor. Incontinence is actually not one that I go to because if someone has incontinence and they just keep squeezing those pelvic floor muscles, they might actually make things worse. So I'd rather people start to think like, ooh, I kind of relate to that. Maybe I do have a tight pelvic floor. And then I'm always about getting personal attention and seeing a pelvic floor PT. But one of the things that you can do right away to help your pelvic floor relax, which will also help your nervous system, is something called 360 breathing. So let's see if people, if they're not driving, you can try this when you're listening. So you can bring your hands around your lower ribs on your side, and then breathe into your hands. And notice, is your breath kind of stuck in your chest? Is it just in your front? So I call this 360 breathing, thinking of the whole 360 degrees of your rib cage. So when you inhale, we want to feel your hands expand because your ribs are expanding. And when you exhale, we want to feel the ribs then start to close in, kind of like opening an umbrella. Okay, now, so you've got your hands on your ribs. Now imagine someone that you love and trust is putting their hands on your back ribs. And we want to breathe into your back ribs. So now we're getting that full 360 degrees. And so now we're not just working the nervous system, but when the diaphragm, that muscle, it's kind of like a dome-like muscle, when we inhale, it's our respiration muscle, and that drops and spreads, everything between your diaphragm and the pelvic floor gently pushes into the pelvic floor, and those muscles are going to have a gentle little yield and stretch. And then when you exhale, and your breath leaves your body and your diaphragm domes, there's a natural vacuum effect, and the pelvic floor has a little lift. So we want the pelvic floor to have that fluctuation. So if you feel like you do have a tight pelvic floor, instead of just engaging, we can start with relaxing and using your breath and your full understanding of your core to help your pelvic floor muscles relax. It's one of my favorite things to get people in touch with their pelvic floor. And it's good for your nervous system.
So I was, when you said that, you're like, are you feeling your chest fill up? Because I was doing it with you. I was like, yep, my chest is filling. My ribs are not moving very much. And then I
Yeah,
did.
so
And
you
then I was pretending to be my husband on my back, like through my hand in the back. I had my one on the side and one in the back. And I'm not expanding very much.
Yeah, so you
I need
might
to
be,
work
which
on it.
like many of us are, if you're tight in your back ribs and your breath is a little bit higher up, that could also be more challenging for your nervous system and not, and you said that you have a tight pelvic floor, so not surprising. So what I would do with you is maybe have you go in, if you're not, you know, if you're not pregnant, you can go into a child's pose with your knees together, and that way you can really kind of round over. If you are pregnant, you can go into a wide-knee child's pose and come into that kind of rounded back and focus on that back breathing. So when we don't get that back rib expansion, the posterior part of your diaphragm is not pressing down as much into your posterior pelvic floor. So I love getting that breath and just noticing patterns. You know, are you kind of stuck up in the chest? Or some people have taught themselves to kind of suck their stomach in all the time, and that means the diaphragm's not going to drop, and that can dysregulate your nervous system, but also be really hard on your pelvic floor.
Wow, so amazing. So
I know. I
amazing.
hope you don't mind. I'm geeking out on anatomy. It's
This
one of my
is
favorite things.
phenomenal. So you guys, if you're driving, go home and do this. So when would you suggest doing like this 360 breathing, like, and some of
Oh, all
these
the time. We do it all the
tips?
time. We start, it's really, again, it's just another word for diaphragmatic breathing. And the reason that I use 360 is because I want people to think about their side and back ribs. Now, let's think about the pregnant body. We often get, you know, we get the exaggerated curves of the spine. And when somebody is having their belly pulling more forward because the baby's growing, the abdominal muscles are getting lengthened and lose some of its support. We often have the back body, the posterior chain getting weak, but then we have often the shoulders rolling forward or the ribs flaring forward, and that can cause tightness in the back. And then that tightness in the back can kind of work itself up to neck tension, jaw tension. And so if we're tight in the back, we're not going to get those ribs expanding quite as much. And then we're going to feel it's kind of stuck in the body and not having some great upper body mobility. So I love to get that idea that we're doing 360 breathing, we're breathing into the back and side ribs. Because if we just say breathe, most people are just going to breathe in the front, and those muscles are already getting very stretched out. We don't need to stretch them out more. So we're trying to have more support from the breath and opening in the side and back. So we start every prenatal class with that, and then we focus on the idea of, are you breathing? Can you feel your side and back ribs? I think, all day, every day, it's great just to be aware of your breathing.
Okay, I love this. I love this. And you started out, so before you even do any yoga position, moving, further breathing, you start here, you're just like, in my mind, it's like you're coming to your center
Yeah,
before you're
absolutely.
moving forward.
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. It's so You know what I tell every VBAC mom, you guys? Let people help. It is so important. In the postpartum life, we need help, and we can let products help too. Postpartum brain is a thing. I couldn't remember sometimes the last time I showered, let alone what size diaper we were on. That's why I love Coterie. Their diapers are free of all the stuff you don't want on your baby's skin, like fragrances, dyes, parabens, and they're honestly so soft, it's wild. But my favorite feature is that you can manage your subscription by text. Need a new size? Done. Need to skip a shipment? Easy. It's not on an app. It's not a login that you have to remember. It's a literal text. When you're postpartum, that matters because everything else can feel like a lot. This doesn't have to. Get Coterie in your life today with code VBAC20 for an extra 20% off your order. That is VBAC20 for 20% off your order. Check out the link in the show notes. So you had mentioned earlier, like, there are certain positions that we can do to help, open the pelvis, the pelvic floor, things like that. Maybe if we're having some of those, like failure to descend or failure to progress, are there
Yeah.
any positions that you would say could be a go-to that would be very tolerable and or like achievable in labor?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot that we actually do. So we teach people in class to understand the different levels of the pelvis. And I actually teach with two different pelvises with me. I have one pelvis that doesn't have pelvic floor muscles, and I have one that does. Now, all our teachers, I personally train all our teachers, so they're all like, we're all on board with that. Grab the pelvis. I think people are visual. So I'm teaching the students, okay, here at the top level, the pelvic inlet, we've got the mid pelvis, we've got the outlet. And then I'm going to go through with them. And this is something your listeners can think about. When baby is coming into the pelvis, we want to open the inlet. So we want to look at poses like external rotation. So if you're like, I don't know what that means. So think like of a ballet dancer, how they have their legs turned out. So that's when your toes are turned out, your leg, not just your toes, but your legs are turned out. So you could be sitting on a birth ball and you're rocking from side to side or back and forth. Or you could be standing with your legs wide and turned out and kind of rocking the hips. Or one of my favorites, if anyone has ever studied spinning babies, I think they call it the Walsher. I should know this. I'm a spinning babies
Walters.
educator. So yeah, I should know that. But I have one that I do with the yoga blocks. Kneeling. So I have the legs in external rotation, the hands are on blocks, you're standing on your knees, the tailbone is dropped. So I'm lifting the pubis, dropping. So I'm not arching, I'm not finding extension in the back, I'm finding extension in the front of the hips. And that can also open up the pelvic inlet. So I'm teaching my students, how can we open the inlet? So we have external rotation, we have pelvic tuck, untuck. We have roll, moving your hips on a birth ball. We have this wide knee, hands on a block, hips are shifting forward in an extension. So we do it over and over and over and over. So they start to think about that. We also do, if they're really kind of not getting that baby into the pelvis, we even talk about a little lift the front baby bump, drop that tail, maybe even pushing your sacrum into a wall. How can we get that baby into the inlet? So these are things we actually practice in prenatal. Then, if baby is hopefully taking its journey down, then baby hits that mid pelvis, the ischial spines. I call those baby speed bumps because these little
I like
protrusions
that.
into the pelvis. Well, they literally, like, if you think about like speed bump, it's like a little bump in the road. So you have your little baby speed bumps, the ischial spines, but that's also where the pelvic floor starts. And that's where often we see, you're a doula, you know this, that's where I often see that stall right around like minus one, zero, plus one, right around that 5, 6 centimeters. That's often where we're hearing failure to progress. And that's because that's the smallest part of the pelvis. So we're now looking at poses that have some asymmetry. And the great thing about a lot of these, you can do some of them with an epidural if you have a doula or a partner that knows how to help you position with a peanut ball. So now we're looking at asymmetrical poses. So in class, we can be on all fours and put one knee on a block. So here we create a little asymmetry in the pelvis. You could be doing a side lunge. You could be putting your foot in yoga. We stack the feet onto yoga blocks and learn how to rock. But maybe you're at the hospital and you have your foot on a stool, or you're in the bed and you're using a peanut ball. So now the students are starting to put in their body, okay, I need to open the mid pelvis. I'm going to look at these different positions that are going to create asymmetry. A lot of them love the side rock, like maybe you're leaning over a birth ball, or you've got your yoga blocks, you're doing a little side lunge. And then we're going to teach about, okay, so now baby's gone through that mid pelvis, and now we've got the pelvic outlet. So now we're going into internal rotation. So now in class, we're showing them all the different ways that you can internally rotate your legs and poses that could be birthing positions. So now you can imagine if you're on all fours and then you bring your hands onto blocks and your knees are in line with your hips and you're just then taking your heels out. So you're internally rotating. And then maybe you're doing a little rocking, reaching your sit bones back. So we're teaching them the different ways of moving their legs. And then we talk about maybe you're taking side lying to relax and your ankle's higher than your knee. That could be a resting position. That could be a pushing position. So we incorporate all these shapes into the class so that it becomes really familiar. And hopefully they've also shared this with their partner, as well as had a conversation with their care provider. And I know you see this as a doula, that people will be like, oh, yeah, you can push in any way you want. And so now we have our students like, yeah, I'm going to try pushing on all fours. I'm going to try pushing on my side. But then the care provider is like, oh, but you can push this way. But when it's time to catch, I want you in a different position. So then we open up the idea of have this conversation with your care provider about all these positions you're learning now to see if it's really going to happen when you're actually in labor, because it's great to get excited about them, but if they're not, if it's not something that someone's open to, then it can be a disappointment.
I mean, it's 2025 and we still have providers and nurses who, don't get me wrong, we love them, you guys, but we still have them coming in being like, no, you cannot have knees together. That's not okay. Like as a doula, we'll put knees together, heels out, maybe if they're laying or kind of like what you're talking about, once the baby's getting low and it's like weird, it's still very foreign to them. And so I love
They
that you're
don't even have to
encouraging
have
that.
knees touch. They just have to be
No,
internally rotated
just
too.
rotate. Yeah, we talk about the femur rotation, at least in my doula practice, we talk about our femur rotation. So our femur is like our big, our quad,
Thigh
our
bone.
longer, yeah, our big, big bone. And so if our femur rotation's out, what happens? Our pelvis, our inlet goes wide and our outlet goes small. And like you were saying, if our femur rotation goes in. So it's not like we're like trying to touch kneecaps. It's just we're rotating in, and the thought of the knees rotating in is still just like baffling to people. So I love that you're encouraging that. Like talk to your provider and say, like, hey, like I really want to do my own thing when it comes to pushing. Like I would love for you to catch my baby, but I need you to let me do my own thing. Let me take the lead.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we talk about how to use the breath, because holding your breath may not be ideal. Maybe that's what someone does need. Like, I'll give full disclosure. My first birth was funny. It sounds like it's similar to yours. My first birth was 42 hours, and I pushed for 5 hours. And I thought my baby was just gonna like stroll out. This is what I do. Want to just kind of be like, hey folks, I'm here. No, I had a really tight, this is before I really understood what I teach now. And I had a really tight pelvic floor, which is not surprising. I was a dancer. I did some crazy advanced yoga positions. So I'm not surprised that like my sacrotuberous ligament and my pelvic floor were super tight. Like in hindsight, I'm like, of course I had a hard birth. But I had to push in every possible way. I tried to breathe my baby out. I ended up holding my breath and pushing. So you don't know what it's going to be, but I love the idea that we can teach people that you can use your breath to help your baby come out. I mean, we know the uterus is doing most of the work, but you don't always have to hold your breath and bear down, which can actually create tension in your jaw and then your pelvic floor. So we can try to think about how can the breath help baby come down. And it may not be something that, again, having a conversation with their care provider, that their care provider is even really super aware of. So we try to slip as much childbirth education into our prenatal classes. So it's not just about the asana, it's about preparing the body. And something you and I talked a little about earlier, kind of like that body balance. I think we might have talked about that in, when we were talking about in my podcast, is if we can get the body more balanced, the psoas, the soft tissue ahead of time, we're hoping that birth flows better, quicker, more efficiently. And that's something we also really look at.
You know, there's so much. We have a here in Utah, we have a couple of providers that really dial in on that balance and their stories of their clients. It's pretty stinking cool. Like they have some pretty great labor stories. So if we can tune into that and dial into what's going on with their pelvic floor, what's going on with their pelvis through working through yoga poses and breath. I mean, I just don't see any con to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, is there a con? Even with placenta previa, we can modify things. Even with high blood pressure, we can modify. I guess if someone doesn't like yoga, that's a con. I mean, but honestly, you know, but we actually, and I'm really, really proud to say this, we've had people that have come in, and I think it's the Scorpio in me. Like, they'll be like, I am a gym rat. And I'm like, me too, I get it. And they're like, I'm really skeptical. I'm only here because my care provider said it, to be here. And then I'd say 99% of the time, they're like, oh, I see this can help my body and my baby because it's not just about let's take triangle pose. We're going to show them that this is about getting mentally and physically ready. And I think that's where they're thinking, okay, maybe they'll never step foot on the yoga mat after. But if they can look that this is just another, it's like if they're, say, a runner, they're going to prepare for the marathon. They're going to get out there and, I don't know, do their runs. I'm not a runner in preparation. And it's kind of the same thing. It's almost like they're training their mind and body for what's ahead. So, yeah, even our gym rats, and again, I'm definitely one of them. I find that when they look at why they're doing this and the reasons and how it can help, and also the community that they're part of, I don't see a con.
I know. So I was the same. Like, I love lifting.
Yep.
I love getting in there, getting it done. And I actually am really, this is bad for me to say, but I'll admit it, you guys. I'm really bad at like stretching, warming up, and stretching, cooling
Oh
down.
my God, me too.
It's so hard. It's so hard. So
And
I
everyone's
think
like, how's that possible, Deb? I'm like, because I love cycling. Like, I literally jumped on, I did a 40-minute
same.
ride earlier, and then I was back at my desk, and I'm in my head, I'm like, you should stretch. And I'm like, I don't have time. I know,
I
I'm the
know.
worst.
It's so bad. And like I because I am that way, like I am now dealing with some sciatica things because I've got my piriformis that's too tight and pressing, like so there's some cons to that. Like, but really when it comes to yoga, like I never have liked yoga, you guys. I've never been a yoga person until like the last like probably like 9 years because I really see the benefit like through and through. And if it's not physically, it's mentally. Yoga
Yeah,
helps me mentally.
honestly, that is how I look at my practice. So I love a good sweat. Like, I'm doing my weights, I'm doing my cardio, and that is my way of thinking about exercise. Now, my yoga practice definitely is work, but it's a different type of thing. Like, when I get on the bike, I'm happy when I'm off of it. Like, I'm happy to be like, done, sweaty and done. But the mat, it feels like there's such focus on the details and the moving and the breath. I call it my mental vacation. That when I'm there and I'm so attuned to how am I moving, what am I moving, what am I breathing, what are the directions, My mind can't think of all of the other trash of my day. And when I come off the mat, it feels like I just had some mental space. And then my nervous system is quieter and calmer. And then I'm ready to face the massive to-do list awaiting me. So that's where I feel like a yoga practice is different. It can still give you a lot of strengthening, but it's a different type of approach to, I don't even know if I want to use the word exercise. Mindful movement. I don't know. That sounds a little cheesy,
Mindfulness.
but
Yeah, no, but
yeah.
really, it really is. There's this, I don't even there's a name and I'm like blanking it. We actually talked about it in our course where it's kind of like the tree pose, but like your arms are up and they're up for a really long time. And
Yeah.
they start actually feeling very heavy and they start hurting. And this is just like a mental thing for me, but and I kind of like hold my balance and I'm finding my breath. And as my hands are starting to hurt, I'm talking myself through that. Like
Yeah.
I'm like giving myself positive affirmation. I'm doing okay. And it relates to labor. Like there are moments in labor where
Yes.
it might be too much and too heavy and hurt too much, but we have to like find our breath, balance ourselves, and work through
Yes.
that.
Yes. There's actually something I came up with years ago. I call it the mock contraction. And all it is a 60-second wall squat, which for me is a
That's a
lot.
lot. Yeah.
it's a lot. And so when I teach that, I've already, and that will be like what I call my peak pose, but I've already introduced one or two pain management coping skills just for that class. So let's just say, one of my favorite, I call it open throat, open vagina. So it's making sound, open sound to be more relaxed. So say that's my focal point for that day. Then by the time we get to mock contraction and we're there, and I'm watching people's bodies tighten up because 60 seconds is a lot. I'm going to remind them, okay, what happens if you open your throat and let a ha out? Can you relax your throat? Can you relax your shoulders? So almost like dueling them through those 60 seconds. And then we talk about it as a group, what helped you, what didn't help you. And then we do it again. And they try to take what they heard from their classmates or what they want to work on. And when we really can hone in on one or two skills and practice it, they're going to feel more confident. But yeah, there is that definite moment, because I do it with them, where I'm like, oh my gosh, I really have to hold this. I call it like hitting your crisis, your moment, your crisis of confidence. And every person has that in labor, as well as parenthood. And we need something to get us to the other side. So we're building pain management, not just for pregnancy and birth. I think really as a parent, like callousing that mind of you want to be done, but you can't be.
Yes, I love that you pointed all of that out. Like, oh my gosh, I feel like we could really probably talk for hours and hours. But really quick, so kind of wrapping up, there like five most common pregnancy pains. What are some quick fixes? And I don't want to say quick fixes, but quick things that we can do. Easy things, sustainable
Okay,
things
let
to
me think.
do to eliminate those discomforts.
All
You
right.
talked about them a little bit, like back pain, hip pain.
Yeah, so I'd say lower back pain is one of the biggest I hear, and I'll try not to get too geeky. The QL, the quadratus lumborum, is probably, if I'm hearing general lower back pain, I'm gonna be like, okay, QL. So that is gonna be some side stretches, some rocking cat cow, really opening up that lower back. If I'm hearing the sacroiliac joint, that the little dimples at the lower back to the left and right of the sacrum, then I'm actually gonna work a lot on stability and strength. That's actually something we focus a ton on, is strengthening the body. It's not just about stretch. We need to strengthen, especially the glutes, the hamstrings, the hips, the back, a lot of strengthening. So I would do some glute strengthening. We do a lot of hinging, kind of like Romanian deadlift without weights at the studio, some dynamic squats. I'd say upper back pain is also, I'd say the whole back body hurts. Upper back pain. We're opening it again. Cat cow can help. Side stretching, gentle twisting, outer hip pain. This is a really good one because a lot of people come in like, I'm sleeping on my hips, they really hurt. If they have their top leg elevated on, say, a body pillow, and then they roll towards their belly with their top leg supported, they're getting off this bony protrusion called the greater trochanter. And just that rolling more towards the belly can help the outer hip pain. Glute pain, like butt pain, is really common. That could be the piriformis. So we're trying to strengthen the muscles around in the glutes and then release the piriformis, like a figure four could be really helpful. And then pubic pain comes up a lot. That could be pubic symphysis. So that's where I'm sending people to a pelvic floor PT. But when we do some like adduction squeezing the outer thigh, or sorry, the inner thighs with like a yoga block or a ball, that can be helpful. And then gently stretching the inner thighs. All right. So I think that was five. Was that five? I think that
Yeah.
was five
Yeah.
pains that I commonly see and just some quick fixes, I
Love
guess.
it. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. Last but not least, can you tell us where people can find classes and then
Yeah.
also where professionals who are wanting to join your teacher program? Because if there's anything that I know, like we want to change the world ourselves, but like and we and there's
We
lots
need
of
a
things that
team.
we're there's lots of things we can do, but we need a team. Like that's how I feel about like our doula program. Like
Absolutely.
how tell us a little bit more about all of those things and then of course where everyone can find you and your podcast.
All right, so everyone can find me at prenatalyogacenter.com. And on our website, we do online classes every day of the week. We started during COVID, we kept it. So we have in-studio classes in New York City if you're there on the Upper West Side, and we do those 6 days a week. But then we have online classes every single day. So we have people join from all over the world. So, and we also have re-releases. So say you can't make our live class, we re-release that class from that morning twice throughout the day, and then you have it to midnight the next day. So you can take class anytime you want. And then we've got our workshops, but we also have our teacher training. It's an 85-hour Yoga Alliance certified teacher training. I'll be honest, it's more than 85 hours because I am a geek and I keep adding things because the more I learn, I'm like, well, let's talk about the nutation of the sacrum. Like I get so geeky. So it's really in depth, but I think it makes a huge difference with pregnant bodies and preparing for birth. So you can check our teacher training out. We do it 3 times a year online, once a year in New York City. That's also at Prenatal Yoga Center. And then my podcast, which you were on, so thank you for that, is called Yoga Birth Babies. And I've had the fortune of talking to some amazing, amazing people. And we've been doing it for, we have over 400 episodes. I believe you do too. For many, many years. And it's a joy. So you can find Yoga Birth Babies pretty much anywhere. But then we're also on Instagram and YouTube and all the places, all under Prenatal Yoga Center.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. You're such a delight to talk to. And I
Thank
know that
you.
this is one of those episodes where people are just like, save, save, and I'm gonna be returning back often.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.